I remember, Adam, it was upon this fashion. My father bequeathed me by will but poor 1,000 crowns, and as thou sayest, charged my brother on his blessing to breed me well. And there begins my sadness. My brother keeps me rustically at home, or to speak more properly, stays me here at home unkept. For call you that keeping for a gentleman of my birth that differs not from the stalling of an ox?
Yonder comes my master, your brother Oliver.
Go apart, Adam. Thou shalt hear how he will shake me up.
Now, Orlando, what make you here?
Nothing. I'm not taught to make anything.
What mar you then, sir?
Marry, sir, I'm helping you to mar that which God made, a poor unworthy brother of yours, with idleness.
Marry, sir, be better employed and be naught a while.
Shall I keep your hogs and eat husks with them? What prodigal portion have I spent that I should come to such penury?
Know you where you are, sir?
Oh, sir, very well. Here in your orchard.
Know you before whom, sir?
Aye, better than him I am before knows me. I know you are my eldest brother, and in the gentle condition of blood, you should so know me. The courtesy of nations allows you my better in that you are the firstborn, but the same tradition takes not away my blood were there 20 brothers betwixt us. I have as much of my father in me as you, albeit I confess your coming before me is nearer to his revenue.
What? Boy!
Come, come, elder brother, you are too young in this.
But thou lay hands on me, villain!
I am no villain. I am the youngest son of Sir Roland de Boys. He was my father, and he is thrice a villain that says such a father begot villains. Were thou not my brother, I would not take this hand from thy throat till this other had pulled out thy tongue for saying so. Thou hast railed on thyself.
Sweet masters, be patient, for your father's remembrance be at a cause.
Let me go, I say!
I will not till I please. You shall hear me. My father charged you in his will to give me good education. You have trained me like a peasant, obscuring and hiding from me all gentlemanlike qualities. The spirit of my father grows strong in me, and I will no longer endure it. Therefore, allow me such exercises as may become a gentleman, or give me the poor allotry my father left me by testament. With that, I will go buy my fortunes.
What wilt thou do? Beg when that is spent? Well, sir, get you in. I will not long be troubled with you. You shall have some part of your will. I pray you leave me.
I will no further offend you than becomes me for my good.
Get you with him, you old dog.
He's old dog, my reward. Most true, I have lost my teeth in your service. God be with my old master. He would not have spoke such a word.
Is it even so? Begin you to grow upon me? I will physic your rankness and yet give no 1,000 crowns neither.
Well, ah, Dennis.
Cold, your worship?
Was not Charles, the Duke's wrestler, here to speak with me?
So please you, he's here at the door and in fortune's access to you.
Call him in.
It'll be a good way. And tomorrow the wrestling is.
Good morrow to your worship.
Ah, good Monsieur Charles. What's the new news at the new court?
Well, there's no news at the court, sir, but the old news. That is that the old Duke is banished by his younger brother Frederick, the new Duke. And 3 or 4 loving lords have put themselves into voluntary exile.
Can you tell if Rosalind, the old Duke's daughter, be banished with her father?
Oh, no. For the new Duke's daughter, her cousin Celia, so loves her that she would have followed her exile, or have died to stay behind her.
Where will the old Duke live?
Well, they say he's already in the Forest of Arden, and are many merry men with him. Hmm. And there they live like the old Robin Hood of England.
What, you wrestle tomorrow before the new Duke?
Marry do I, sir. And I came to acquaint you with a matter. I'm given, sir, secretly to understand that your younger brother Orlando had the disposition to come in disguised against me to try a fall. Your brother is but young and tender, and for your love I would be loath to foil him, as I must for my own honour if he come in. Therefore, out of my love to you, I came hither to acquaint you with all, that you might stay him.
Charles, I had myself notice of my brother's purpose herein, and have by underhand means laboured to dissuade him from it, but he is resolute. I'll tell thee, Charles, it is the stubbornest young fellow of France, full of ambition, an envious emulator of every man's good parts, a secret and villainous contriver against me, his natural brother. Therefore, use thy discretion. I had as lief thou didst break his neck as his finger.
I'm heartily glad I came hither to you. If he come tomorrow, I'll give him his payment. If ever he go alone again, I'll never wrestle for prize more. And so God keep your worship.
Farewell, good Charles.
Now will I stir this gamester. I hope I shall see an end of him.
I pray thee, Rosalind, sweet my cousin, be merry.
Dear Celia, I show more mirth than I am mistress of, and would you yet I were merrier?
Unless you could teach me to forget a banished father, you must not learn me how to remember any extraordinary pleasure.
Herein I see thou lovest me not with the full weight that I love thee. You know my father hath no child but I, nor none is like to him. And truly, when he dies, thou shalt be his heir. For what he hath taken away from thy father perforce, I will render thee again in affection. By mine honour I will. And when I break that oath, let me turn monster. Therefore, my sweet Rose, my dear Rose, be merry.
From henceforth I will, coz.
Here comes Monsieur Le Beau,
with his mouth full of news.
Bonjour, Monsieur Le Beau. What's the news?
Fair princess, you have lost much good sport.
Sport?
Good wrestling, which you have lost the sight of.
Tell us the manner of the wrestling.
I will tell you the beginning, and if it please your ladyships, you may see the end. For the best is yet to do, and here where you are, they are coming to perform it.
Yonder, sure, they are coming. Let us now stay and see it.
Come on! Since the youth will not be entreated, his own peril on his forwardness.
Is yonder the man?
Oh, even he, madam.
Oh, lass, he is too young. Yet he looks successful.
How now, daughter and cousin? Are you crept hither to see the wrestling?
Aye, my liege, so please you give us leave.
You will take little delight in it, I can tell you. There is such odds in the man. In pity of the challenger's youth, I would fain dissuade him, but he will not be entreated. Speak to him, ladies. See if you can move him.
Call him hither, good Monsieur Le Beau.
Do so. I'll not be by.
Monsieur the challenger, the princess calls for you.
I attend them with all respect and duty.
Young man, have you challenged Charles the wrestler?
No, fair princess. He is the general challenger. I come but in as others do to try with him the strength of my youth.
Young gentleman, your spirits are too bold for your years. You have seen cruel proof of this man's strength. We pray you for your own sake to embrace your own safety and give over this attempt.
Do, young sir, your reputation shall not therefore be misprized. We will make it our suit to the Duke that the wrestling might not go forward.
I beseech you, punish me not with your hard thoughts, wherein I confess me much guilty to deny so fair and excellent ladies anything. But let your fair eyes and gentle wishes go with me to my trial, wherein if I be foiled, there is but one shamed that was never gracious, if killed, but one dead that is willing to be so.
The little strength that I have, I would it were with you. Fare you well.
Come, where is this young gallant that is so desirous to lie with his mother earth?
Ready, sir, but his will hath in it a more modest working.
You shall try but one fall.
No, I warrant your grace, you shall not entreat him to a second that have so mightily persuaded him from a first.
And you mean to mock me after, you should not have mocked me before, but come your ways.
Young man.
No more, no more.
I beseech your grace, I'm not yet well breathed.
How dost thou, Charles?
He cannot speak, my lord.
Bear him away. What is thy name, young man?
Orlando, my liege, the youngest son of Sir Roland de Boys.
I would thou hadst been son to some man else. The world esteemed thy father honorable, but I did find him still mine enemy. Thou shouldst have better pleased me with this deed hadst thou descended from another house. But fare thee well. Thou art a gallant youth. I would thou hadst told me of another father.
I am more proud to be Sir Roland's son, his youngest son, and would not change that calling to be adopted heir to Frederick.
My father loved Sir Roland as his soul, and all the world was of my father's mind.
Gentle cousin, let us go thank him and encourage him. My father's rough and envious disposition sticks me at heart.
Gentlemen, wear this chain for me. One out of suits with fortune that could give more, but that her hand lacks means. Shall we go, coz?
Aye. Fare you well, fair gentlemen.
Can I not say I thank you? My better parts are all thrown down, and that which here stands up is but a quintain, a mere lifeless block.
He calls us back. My pride fell with my fortunes. I'll ask him what he would. Did you call, sir? Sir, you have wrestled well and overthrown more than your enemies.
Will you go, coz?
Have with you. Fare you well.
What passion hangs these weights upon my tongue? I cannot speak to her, yet she urged confidence. Oh, poor Orlando, thou art overthrown.
Good sir, I do in friendship counsel you to leave this place. Albeit you have deserved high commendation, true applause and love, yet such is now the Duke's condition that he misconstrues all that you have done.
I thank you, sir. And pray you, tell me this.
Which of the two was daughter of the Duke that here was at the wrestling?
The smaller is his daughter. The other is daughter to the banished Duke, and here detained by her usurping uncle to keep his daughter company. But of late, this Duke hath tamed displeasure against his gentle niece, grounded upon no other argument but that the people praise her for her virtues, and pity her for her good father's sake. And on my life, his malice against the lady will suddenly break forth. Sir, fare you well. Hereafter, in a better world than this, I shall desire more love and knowledge of you.
I rest much bounden to you. Fare you well. Thus must I from the smoke unto the smother, from tyrant duke unto a tyrant brother. But heavenly Rosalind.
Why, cousin? Why, Rosalind? Cupid, have mercy. Not a word. Is it possible, on such a sudden, you should fall into so strong a liking with old Sir Roland's youngest son?
The Duke, my father, loved his father dearly.
Oh, doth it therefore ensue that you should love his son dearly? By this kind of chase, I should hate him, for my father hated his father dearly. Yet I hate not Orlando.
No, faith, hate him not, for my sake.
Why should I not? Doth he not deserve well?
Oh, let me love him for that, and do you love him because I do? Look, here comes the Duke.
With his eyes full of anger.
Mistress! Dispatch you with your safest haste, and get you from our court.
Me, uncle?
You, cousin, within these 10 days, if that thou be'st found so near our public court as 20 miles, thou diest for it.
I do beseech your grace, let me the knowledge of my fault bear with me. Never so much as in a thought unborn did I offend your highness.
Let it suffice thee that I trust thee not.
Yet your mistrust cannot make me a traitor. Tell me whereon the likelihood depends.
Thou art thy father's daughter. There's enough.
Treason is not inherited, my lord. Or if we did derive it from our friends, what's that to me? My father was no traitor. Then, good my liege, mistake me not so much to think my poverty is treacherous.
Dear sovereign, hear me speak.
Ay, Celia, we stayed her for your sake. Else had she with her father ranged along.
If she be a traitor, why so am I.
She is too subtle for thee, and her smoothness, her very silence, and her patience speak to the people, and they pity her. Thou art a fool. She robs thee of thy name, and thou wilt show more bright and seem more virtuous when she is gone. Then open not thy lips. Firm and irrevocable is my doom, which I have passed upon her. She is banished.
Pronounce that sentence then on me, my liege. I cannot live out of her company.
You are a fool. Eunice, provide yourself. If you outstay the time upon my honor and in the greatness of my word, you die.
Oh, my poor Rosalind. Whither wilt thou go? Wilt thou change fathers? I will give thee mine. I charge thee. Be not thou more grieved than I am.
I have more cause.
Thou hast not, cousin. Prithee, be cheerful. Knowst thou not the Duke hath banished me, his daughter?
That he hath not.
Shall we be sundered? Shall we part, sweet girl? No, let my father seek another heir. Therefore, devise with me how we may fly, whither to go, and what to bear with us. Say what thou canst, I'll go along with thee.
Why, whither shall we go?
Seek my uncle in the forest of Arden.
Oh, alas, what danger will it be to us, maids as we are, to travel forth so far? Beauty provoketh thieves sooner than gold.
I'll put myself in poor and mean attire, and with a kind of umber smirch my face, the like do you. So shall we pass along and never stir assailants.
Well, were it not better, because that I am more than common tall, that I did suit me all points like a man? A gallant curtlax upon my thigh, a boar spear in my hand, and in my heart lie there what hidden woman's fear there will. We'll have a swashing and a marshal outside, as many other mannish cowards have that do outface it with their semblances.
What shall I call thee when thou art a man?
I'll have no worse a name than Jove's own page, and therefore look you call me Ganymede. But what will you be called?
Something that hath a reference to my state. No longer Celia, but Aliena.
But, cousin, what if we essayed to steal the clownish fool Touchstone out of your father's court? Would he not be a comfort to our travel?
He'll go along or the wide world with me. Leave me alone to woo him. Let's away and get our jewels and our wealth together. Devise the fittest time and safest way to hide us from pursuit that will be made after my flight. Now go ye in content to liberty and not to banishment.
Under the greenwood tree, who loves to lie with me? unto the sweet bird's throat. Come hither. Here shall he see no enemy but winter and rough weather.
More, I prithee, more, good Amiens.
It will make you melancholy, Mr. Jacques.
I thank it. More, I prithee, more. I can suck melancholy out of a song as a weasel sucks eggs. More, I prithee, more.
My voice is ragged. I know I cannot please you.
I do not desire you to please me. I do desire you to sing. Come, sing. And you that will not, hold your tongues.
Well, I'll end the song. Sirs, cover the while, that you could drink under this tree. He hath been all this day to look you, Monsieur Jacques.
And I have been all this day to avoid him. He is too disputable for my company. I think of as many matters as he, but I give heaven thanks and make no boast of them. Come, warble, come.
Who doth ambition shun and loves to live in the sun? Seeking the food he eats and pleased with what he gets. Come hither. Here shall he see no enemy but winter and rough weather.
I'll give you a verse to this note that I made yesterday in despite of my invention.
And I'll sing.
Thus it goes. If it do come to pass that any man turn ass, leaving his wealth and ease, a stubborn will to please, Duke Darby, here shall he see gross fools as he, and if he will come to me.
What's that Duke Darby?
'Tis a Greek invocation to call fools into a circle. Oh, I'll go sleep if I can. If I cannot, I'll rail against all the firstborn of Egypt.
And I'll go seek the Duke.
Jupiter, how weary are my spirits.
I care not for my spirits if my legs were not weary.
I could find it in my heart to disgrace my man's apparel and to cry like a woman. But I must comfort the weaker vessel, as doublet and hose ought to show itself courageous to petticoat. Therefore, courage, good Aliena.
I pray you bear with me. I cannot go no further.
For my part, I'd rather bear with you than bear you.
Well, this is the Forest of Arden.
Now am I in Arden. The more fool I. When I was at home, I was in a better place. But travellers must be content.
I be so, good Touchstone.
I pray you, one of you, question yon man if he for gold will give us any food. I faint almost to death.
Hello, you clown.
Peace, you fool, he's not thy kinsman.
Who calls?
Your betters, sir.
Well, shall they very wretched.
Peace, I say. Good even to your friend.
And to you, gentle sir, and to you all.
I prithee, shepherd. If that love or gold can in this desert place buy entertainment, bring us where we may rest ourselves and feed. Here's a young maid with travel much oppressed and faints for succor.
Fair sir, I pity her, and wish for her sake more than for mine own. My fortunes were more able to relieve her. But I am shepherd to another man, and do not shear the fleeces that I graze. My master is of churlish disposition, and little recks to find the way to heaven by doing deeds of hospitality. Besides, his coat, his flocks, and bounds of feed are now on sale. At our sheepcote now, by reason of his absence, there is nothing that you will feed on.
I pray thee, if it stand with honesty, buy thou the cottage, pasture, and the flock, and thou shalt have to pay for it of us.
And we will mend thy wages. I like this place, and willingly could waste my time in it.
Well, surely the thing is to be sold. Go with me. If you like upon report, the soil, the profit, and this kind of life, I will your very faithful feeder be, and buy it with your gold, right suddenly.
Now, my co-mates and brothers in exile, hath not old custom made this life more sweet than that of painted pomp? Are not these woods more free from peril than the envious court? Here feel we not the penalty of Adam, the season's difference, as the icy fang and churlish chiding of the winter's wind, which, when it bites and blows upon my body, even till I shrink with cold, I smile and say, this is no flattery. These are counselors that feelingly persuade me what I am. Sweet are the uses of adversity, which, like the toad, ugly and venomous, wears yet a precious jewel in his head. And this our life, exempt from public haunt, finds tongues in trees, books in the running brooks, sermons in stones, and good in everything. I would not change it.
Happy is your grace that can translate the stubbornness of fortune into so quiet and so sweet a style.
Come, shall we go and kill his venison? And yet it irks me, the poor dappled fools, being native burghers of this desert city, should in their own confines with forked heads have their round haunches gored.
Indeed, my lord, the melancholy Jaques grieves at that, and in that kind swears you do more usurp than doth your brother that hath banished you.
I love to cope him in these sullen fits, for then he's full of matter. Go seek him. Tell him I would speak with him.
He saves my labor by his own approach.
Why, how now, monsieur? What a life is this that your poor friends must woo your company? What? You look merrily.
A fool! I met a fool in the forest, a motley fool, a miserable world, as I do live by food. I met a fool who laid him down and basked him in the sun and railed on Lady Fortune in good terms, in good set terms, and yet a motley fool. Good morrow, fool, quoth I. No, sir, quoth he. Call me not fool till heaven hath sent me fortune. And then he drew a dial from his poke, and looking on it with lackluster eye, says very wisely, it is 10 o'clock. Thus we may see, quoth he, how the world wags. 'Tis but an hour ago since it was 9, and after 1 hour more 'twill be 11, and so from hour to hour we ripe and ripe, and then from hour to hour we rot and rot, and thereby hangs a tale. When I did hear the motley fool thus moral on the time, my lungs began to crow like chanticleer, that fools should be so deep contemplative, and I did laugh, sans intermission, an hour by his dial. Oh, noble fool, oh, worthy fool, motley's the only wear.
What fool is this?
A worthy fool, one that hath been a courtier. Oh, that I were a fool. I am ambitious for a motley coat.
Thou shalt have one.
Forbear, and eat no more.
Why, I've eaten none yet.
Or shalt not, till necessity be served.
Of what kind should this cock come of?
Art thou thus boldened, man, by thy distress? Or else a rude despiser of good manners, that in civility thou seem'st so empty?
You touch my vein at first. The thorny point of bare distress hath ta'en from me the show of smooth civility. Yet am I inland bred, and know some nurture. But forbear, I say, he dies that touches any of this fruit till I and my affairs are answered.
And you will not be answered with reason. I must die.
What would you have? Your gentleness shall force more than your force move us to gentleness.
I almost die for food, and let me have it.
Sit down and feed, and welcome to our table.
Speak you so gently? Pardon me, I pray you. I thought that all things had been savage here, and therefore put I on the countenance of stern commandment. But whate'er you are that in this desert inaccessible, under the shade of melancholy boughs, lose and neglect the creeping hours of time, if ever you have looked on better days, if ever been where bells have knolled to church, if ever sat at any good man's feast, if ever from your eyelids wiped a tear and know what 'tis to pity and be pitied, let gentleness my strong enforcement be, in the which hope I blush and hide my sword.
True is it that we have seen better days. Therefore sit you down in gentleness, and take upon command what help we have that to your wanting may be ministered.
Then but forbear your food a little while. Whiles like a doe I go to find my fawn and give it food. There is an old poor man who after me hath many a weary step limped in pure love, till he be first sufficed, oppressed with 2 weak evils, age and hunger, I will not touch a bit.
Go find him out. We will nothing waste till you return.
I thank you.
and be blessed for your good comfort.
Thou seest, we are not all alone, unhappy. This wide and universal theatre presents more woeful pageants than the scene wherein we play in.
All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts, his acts being seven ages. At first, the infant, mewling and puking in the nurse's arms. Then the whining schoolboy, with his satchel and shining morning face, creeping like snail unwillingly to school. And then the lover, sighing like furnace, with a woeful ballad made to his mistress' eyebrow. Then a soldier, full of strange oaths and bearded like the pard, jealous in honor, sudden and quick in quarrel, seeking the bubble reputation even in the cannon's mouth. And then the justice, in fair round belly with good capon lined, with eyes severe and beard a formal cut, full of wise saws and modern instances, and so he plays his part. The sixth age shifts into the lean and slippered pantaloon, with spectacles on nose and pouch on side, his youthful hose well saved, a world too wide for his shrunk shank, and his big manly voice turning again toward childish treble, pipes and whistles in his sound. Last scene of all that ends this strange eventful history, his second childishness and mere oblivion. Sans teeth, sans eyes, sans taste, sans everything.
Give us some music, and good cousin, sing.
Most friendship is feigning, most loving mere folly. Then hey ho the holly, this life is most jolly.
Hang there my verse, in witness of my love. O Rosalind, these trees shall be my books, and in their barks my thoughts I'll character, that every eye which in this forest looks shall see thy virtue witnessed everywhere. Run, run, Orlando, carve on every tree the fair, the chaste, and unexpressive she.
Wast ever in court, shepherd?
No, truly, Master Touchstone.
Oh, then thou art damned.
Nay, I hope.
Truly thou art damned, like an ill-roasted egg, all on one side.
For not being at court, your reason.
Why, if thou never wast at court, thou never sawst good manners. If thou never sawst good manners, then thy manners must be wicked, and wickedness is sin, and sin is damnation. Oh, thou art in a parlous state, shepherd.
Sir, I am a true labourer. I earn that I eat. Get that I wear, O no man hate, envy no man's happiness, glad of other men's good, content with my harm. The greatest of my pride is to see my ewes graze and my lambs suck.
Yes, that is another simple sin in you, to bring the ewes and the rams together and to offer to get your living by the copulation of cattle, to be bored to a bellwether and to betray a she-lamb of a 12-month to a crooked-pated old cuckoldly ram out of all reasonable match.
Here comes young Master Ganymede, my new mistress's brother.
From the east to western Ind, no jewel is like Rosaline. Her worth being mounted on the wind, through all the world bears Rosalind. All the pictures fairest lined are but black to Rosalind, Let no face be kept in mind, but the fair of Rosaline.
This is the very false gallop of verses. Why do you infect yourself with them?
Peace, you dull fool. I found them on a tree. Oh,
truly, the tree yields bad fruit. Now, I'll rhyme you so 8 years together. Dinners and suppers and sleeping hours excepted.
Out, fool.
For a taste. If a hart do lack a hind, let him seek out Rosalind. If the cat will after kind, so be sure will Rosalind. Winter garments must be lined, so must slender Rosalind. They that reap must sheaf and bind, then to cart with Rosalind. Sweetest nut hath sourest rind, such a nut is Rosalind. He that sweetest rose will find, must find love's prick. And Rosaline.
Peace. Here comes my sister reading. Stand aside.
But upon the fairest boughs, or at every sentence end, will I Rosalinda write. Oh, now back, friends. Shepherd, go off a little. Go with him, sirrah.
Come, Shepherd. Let us make an honorable retreat, though not with bag and baggage, yet with scrip and scrippage.
Didst thou hear these verses?
Oh, yes, I heard them all.
What didst thou hear without wondering how thy name should be hanged and carved upon these trees?
I was 7 of the 9 days out of the wonder before you came, for look here what I found on a palm tree.
Trow you who hath done this?
Is it a man?
And a chain that you once wore about his neck. Change you colour.
I prithee, who?
Is it possible?
Nay, I prithee now, with most petitionary vehemence, tell me who it is.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, and most wonderful, wonderful, and yet again wonderful. And after that, out of all whooping...
Good, my complexion, I prithee, take the cork out of thy mouth, that I may drink thy tidings.
So you may put a man in your belly. It is young Orlando.
Nay, but the devil take mocking. Speak, sad brow and true maid.
If faith, cuz, 'tis he.
Orlando?
Orlando.
Alas the day! What shall I do with my doublet and hose? What did he when thou saw'st him? What said he? How looked he? Wherein went he? What makes he here? Did he ask for me? Where remains he? How parted he with thee? And when shalt thou see him again? Answer me in one word.
You must borrow me Gargantua's mouth first.
But doth he know that I am in this forest and in man's apparel? Looks he as freshly as he did the day he wrestled?
I found him under a tree, like a dropped acorn.
Oh, it may well be called Jove's tree when it drops such fruit.
Give me audience, good man.
Proceed.
There lay he, stretched along like a wounded knight.
Though it be pity to see such a sight, it well becomes the ground.
Cry holler to thy tongue, I prithee, it curvets unseasonably.
Do you not know I am a woman? When I think, I must speak. Sweet, say on.
You bring me out. Soft, comes he not here?
'Tis he. Slink by and note him.
I pray you, mar no more trees with writing love songs in their barks.
I pray you, mar no more of my verses with reading them ill-favoredly.
Rosalind is your love's name?
Yes, just.
I do not like her name.
There was no thought of pleasing you when she was christened.
What stature is she of?
Just as high as my heart.
Oh, you're full of pretty answers. I'll tarry no longer with you. Farewell, good senior love.
I'm glad of your departure. Adieu, good Monsieur Melancholy.
I will speak to him like a saucy lackey, and under that habit play the knave with him. Do you hear, Forrester?
Very well. What would you?
I pray you, what is the clock?
You should ask me what time of day. There's no clock in the forest.
Then there is no true lover in the forest. Else sighing every minute and groaning every hour would detect the lazy foot of time as well as a clock.
Where dwell you, pretty youth?
With this shepherdess, my sister, here in the skirts of the forest, like fringe upon a petticoat.
Are you a native of this place?
As the coney that you see dwell where she is kindled.
Your accent is something finer than you could purchase in so removed a dwelling.
I have been told so of many, but indeed an old religious uncle of mine taught me to speak, who was in his youth an inland man, one who knew courtship too well, for there he fell in love. I have heard him read many lectures against it, and I thank God I am not a woman to be touched with so many giddy offences as he hath generally taxed their whole sex withal.
Can you remember any of the principal evils that he laid to the charge of women?
There were none principal. They were all like one another as halfpenny are. Every one fault-seeming monstrous until his fellow fault came to match it.
I prithee recount some of them.
Oh, no. I will not cast away my physic but on those that are sick. There is a man haunts the forest that abuses our young plants with carving Rosalind on their barks. Hangs odes upon hawthorns and elegies on brambles, all forsooth deifying the name of Rosalind. If I could meet that fancy-monger, I would give him some good counsel.
I am he that is so love-shaped. I pray you, tell me your remedy.
There is none of my uncle's marks upon you. He taught me how to know a man in love, in which cage of rushes I'm sure you are not a prisoner.
What were his marks?
A lean cheek, which you have not. A blue eye and sunken, which you have not. An unquestionable spirit, which you have not. A beard neglected, which you have not. Then your hose should be ungartered, your bonnet unbanded, your sleeve unbuttoned, your shoe untied, and everything about you demonstrating a careless desolation.
Fair youth, I would I could make thee believe I love.
Me believe it? You may as soon make her that you love believe it, which I warrant she is apter to do than to confess she does. But in good sooth, are you he that hangs the verses on the trees wherein Rosalind is so admired?
I swear to the youth, by the white hand of Rosalind, I am that he, that unfortunate he.
But are you so much in love as your rhymes speak?
Neither rhyme nor reason can express so much.
Love is merely a madness, and I tell you deserves as well a dark house and a whip as madmen do. Yet I profess curing it by counsel.
Did you ever cure any so?
Yes, one, and in this manner. He was to imagine me his love, his mistress, and I set him every day to woo me, at which time would I, being but a moonish youth, grieve, be effeminate, changeable, longing and liking, proud, fantastical, apish, shallow, inconstant, full of tears, full of smiles, would now like him, now loathe him, then entertain him, then forswear him, now weep for him, then spit at him, that I drave my suitor from his mad humour of love to a living humour of madness, which was to forswear the full stream of the world and to live in a nook, merely monastic. And thus I cured him. And this way will I take upon me to wash your liver as clean as a sound sheep's heart, that there shall not be one spot of love in't.
I would not be cured, youth.
I would cure you, if you would but call me Rosalind and come every day to my coat and woo me.
Now, by the faith of my love, I will. Tell me where it is.
Well, go with me to it, and I'll show it you. And by the way, you shall tell me where in the forest you live. Will you go?
With all my heart, good youth.
Oh, nay, you must call me Rosalind. Come, sister, will you go?
Come apace, good Audrey.
I will fetch up thy goats, Audrey. And how, Audrey? Am I the man yet? Doth my simple feature content you?
Your features? Lord Warrenters, what features?
I am here with thee and thy goats, as the most capricious poet, honest Ovid, was among the goths. Oh, truly, I would the gods had made thee poetical.
Well, I'm not fair, and therefore I pray the gods make me honest.
Truly, and to cast away honesty upon a foul slut were to put good meat into an unclean dish.
I'm not a slut. Though I thank the gods I am foul.
Well, praise be the gods for thy foulness. Sluttishness may come hereafter. But be it as it may, I will marry thee. As the ox hath his bow, the horse his curb, and the falcon her bells, so man hath his desires. And as pigeon's bill, so wedlock would be nibbling. Come, sweet Audrey, we must be married, or we must live in bawdry.
Never talk to me, I will weep.
Do, I prithee, but yet have the grace to consider that tears do not become a man.
But why did he swear he would come this morning and comes not?
Nay, certainly, that is no truth in him.
Not true in love?
Yes, when he is in, but I think he is not in.
You have heard him swear downright he was.
Was is not is. Besides, the oath of a lover is no stronger than the word of a tster. They are both the confirmer of false reckonings. He attempts here in the forest on the Duke, your father.
Which is he that killed the deer?
Sir, it was I.
Let's present him to the Duke like a Roman conqueror. Have you no song, Forester, for this purpose?
Yes, sir.
Sing it. It is no matter how it be in tune, so it make noise enough.
What shall he have that killed the deer? His leather skin and horns to wear. Then sing him home.
Take thou no scorn to wear the horn. Lazarist, ere thou wast born, thy father's father wore it, and thy father bore it. The horn, the lusty horn, is not a thing to love, to scorn.
Good day and happiness, dear Rosalind.
Why, how now, Orlando? Where have you been all this while? You a lover? and you serve me such another trick, never come in my sight more.
Pardon me, dear.
Nay, and you'll be so tardy, come no more in my sight. I had as lief be wooed of a snail.
Of a snail?
Aye, of a snail. For though he comes slowly, he carries his house on his head. A better jointure, I think, than you make a woman.
I would not have my right, Rosalind, of this mind, for I protest her frown might kill me.
But come, now I will be your Rosalind in a more coming-on decision. And ask me what you will, I will grant it.
Then love me, Rosalind.
Yes, faith, will I, Fridays and Saturdays and all.
And wilt thou have me?
Aye, and 20 such.
What sayest thou?
You're not good.
I hope so.
Why then can one desire too much of a good thing? Come, sister, you shall be the priest and marry us. Give me your hand, Orlando. What do you say, sister?
Pray thee, marry us.
I cannot say the word.
You must begin, will you, Orlando?
Go to. Will you, Orlando, have to wife this Rosalind?
I will.
Aye, but when?
Why, now, as fast as she can marry us.
Then you must say, I take thee, Rosalind, for wife.
I take thee, Rosalind, for wife.
I might ask you for your commission, but I do take thee, Orlando, for my husband. Now tell me, how long you would have her after you have possessed her?
Forever and a day.
Oh, say a day without the ever. No, no, Orlando. Men are April when they woo, December when they wed. Maids are when they are maids, but the sky changes when they are wives. I will be more jealous of thee than a Barbary cock pigeon over his hen, more clamorous than a parrot against rain, more new-fangled than an ape, more giddy in my desires than a monkey. I will weep for nothing like Diana in the fountain, and I will do that when thou art disposed to be merry. I will laugh like a hyena, and that when thou art inclined to sleep.
But will my Rosalind do so?
By my life, she will do as I do.
For these 2 hours, Rosalind, I will leave thee.
Alas, dear love, I cannot lack thee 2 hours.
I must attend the Duke at dinner. By 2 o'clock, I will be with thee again.
2 o'clock is your hour?
Aye, sweet Rosalind, and so adieu.
Adieu.
You have simply misused our sex in your love, prate. We must have your doublet and hose plucked over your head and show the world what the bird hath done to her own nest.
Oh, cuz. My pretty little cuz, that thou didst know how many fathom deep I am in love. But it cannot be sounded. I'll tell thee, Aliena, I cannot be out of the sight of Orlando. I'll go find a shadow and sigh till he come. And I'll sleep.
We shall find the time, Audrey.
Patience, gentle Audrey. But, Audrey, there is a youth here in the forest lays claim to you.
Aye, I know who 'tis. He hath no interest in me in the world. Here comes the man you mean.
Oh, it is meat and drink to me to see a clown.
Good evening, Audrey.
Guard ye good evening, William.
And good evening to you, sir.
Oh, good evening, gentle friend. Hey, cover thy head, cover thy head. Nay, prithee be covered. How old are you, friend?
25, sir.
Oh, a ripe age. Is thy name William?
William, sir.
A fair name. Wast born in the forest here?
Aye, sir, I thank God.
Thank God, a good answer. Art rich?
Aye, sir, so-so.
So-so is good, very good, very excellent good. And yet it is not, it is but so-so. Now, art thou wise?
Aye, sir, I have a pretty wit.
Why, thou sayst well. I do now remember a saying, the fool doth think he is wise, but the wise man knows himself to be a fool. Yeah. You do love this maid?
I do, sir.
Oh, give me thy hand. Art thou learned?
No, sir.
Then learn this of me. To have is to have. I am he.
Which he, sir?
He, sir, that must marry this woman. Therefore, you clown, abandon, which is in the vulgar leave, the society, which in the boorish is company, of this female, which in the common is woman, which together is, abandon the society of this female, or clown thou perishest, or to thy better understanding diest, or to wit, I kill thee, make thee away, translate thy life into death, thy liberty into bondage. I will deal in poison with thee, or in bastinado, or in steel. I will kill thee 150 ways, therefore, tremble and depart.
Do good, William.
God rest you, merry sir.
Trip, Audrey, trip, Audrey, I attend.
How say you now? Is it not past 2 o'clock and here much or land?
I warrant you, with pure love and troubled brain, he hath ta'en his bow and arrows and is gone forth to sleep.
Good morrow, fair ones. Pray you, if you know where in the purlieus of this forest stands a sheepcote fenced about with olive trees?
West of this place, down in the neighbour bottom, the rank of osiers by the murmuring stream, left on your right hand, brings you to the place. But at this hour the house doth keep itself. There's none within.
If that an eye may profit by a tongue, then should I know you by description, such garments and such years. The boy is fair, of female favour, and bestows himself like a ripe forester. The woman, low, and browner than her brother. Are not you the owner of the house I did inquire for?
It is no boast being asked to say we are.
Orlando doth commend him to you both, and to that youth he calls his Rosalind, he sends this bloody napkin. Are you he?
I am. What must we understand by this?
Some of my shame, if you will know of me, what man I am, and how and why and where this handkerchief was stained.
And pray you, tell it.
When last the young Orlando parted from you, he left a promise to return again within an hour, and pacing through the forest, chewing the food of sweet and bitter fancy, lo, what befell. He threw his eye aside, and mark what object did present itself. Under an oak, whose boughs were mossed with age and high top, bald with dry antiquity, a wretched, ragged man, o'ergrown with hair, lay sleeping on his back. About his neck a green and gilded snake had wreathed itself, who with her head nimble in threats approached the opening of his mouth. But suddenly, seeing Orlando, it unlinked itself and with indented glides did slip away into a bush, under which bush's shade a lioness with udders all drawn dry lay couching head on ground with cat-like watch when that the sleeping man should stir. What is the royal disposition of that beast to prey on nothing that the seem as dead? This seen, Orlando did approach the man and found it was his brother, his elder brother.
Oh, I have heard him speak of that same brother, and he did render him the most unnatural that lived amongst men.
And well he might so do, for well I know he was unnatural.
But to Orlando, did he leave him there, food to the sucked and hungry lioness?
Twice did he turn his back and purposed so. But kindness, nobler ever than revenge, and nature, stronger than his just occasion, made him give battle to the lioness, who quickly fell before him. In which hurtling from miserable slumber I awaked.
Are you his brother?
Wast you he rescued?
Wast you that did so oft contrive to kill him?
'Twas I, but 'tis not I. I do not shame to tell you what I was, since my conversion so sweetly tastes, being the thing I am.
But for the bloody napkin?
By and by. When from the first to last, betwixt us two, tears our recountments had most kindly bathed, as how I came into that desert place. In brief, he led me to the gentle Duke, who gave me fresh array and entertainment, committing me unto my brother's love, who led me instantly unto his cave. There stripped himself, and here upon his arm the lioness had torn some flesh away, which all this while had bled. And now he fainted, and cried in fainting upon Rosalind. Brief, I recovered him, bound up his wound, and after some small space, being strong at heart, he sent me hither, stranger as I am, to tell this story, that you might excuse his broken promise, and to give this napkin, dyed in his blood, unto the shepherd youth that he in sport doth call his Rosalind.
Oh, oh, Helena, Ganymede, sweet Ganymede.
Oh, many will swoon when they do look on blood.
There is more in it, cousin, oh. Ganymede. Oh.
Look, he recovers.
Oh, I would I were at home.
We'll lead you thither. I pray you, will you take him by the arm?
Be of good cheer, youth. You a man. You like a man's heart.
Oh, I do so, I confess it. Sirrah, a body would think this was well counterfeited. I pray you tell your brother how well I counterfeited.
Come, you look paler and paler. Pray you, draw homewards. Good sir, go with us.
That will I, for I must bear answer back how you excuse my brother, Rosalind.
Oh, I shall devise something, but I pray you, commend my counterfeiting to him. Will you go? Did your brother tell you how I counterfeited a swoon when he showed me your handkerchief?
Aye, and greater wonders than that.
Oh, I know where you are. 'Tis true. For your brother and my sister no sooner met but they looked. No sooner looked but they loved. No sooner loved but they sighed. No sooner sighed but they asked one another the reason. No sooner knew the reason but they sought the remedy. And in these degrees have they made a pair of stairs to marriage which they will climb incontinent. or else be incontinent before marriage. They are in the very wrath of love, and they will together. Clubs cannot part them.
They shall be married tomorrow, and I will bid the Duke to the nuptial. But oh, how bitter a thing it is to look into happiness through another man's eyes.
Why then, tomorrow I cannot serve your turn for Rosalind?
I can live no longer by thinking.
I will weary you then no longer with idle talking. I have, since I was 3 years old, conversed with a magician. Most profound in his art, and yet not damnable. If you do love Rosalind so near the heart as your gesture cries it out, when your brother marries Aliena, shall you marry her? I know into what straits of fortune she is driven, and it is not impossible for me, if it appear not inconvenient to you, to set her before your eyes tomorrow, human as she is, and without any danger.
Speak'st thou in sober meaning?
By my life I do, which I tender dearly, though I say I am a magician. Therefore put you in your best array, bid your friends, for if you will be married tomorrow, you shall, and to Rosalind if you will.
Tomorrow is the joyful day, Audrey. Tomorrow will we be married.
I do desire it with all my heart. And I hope it is no dishonest desire to desire to be a woman of the world.
It was a lover and his lass that that o'er the green cornfields did pass
in when birds time, the only pretty ring time
when birds do sing hey ding a ding ding hey ding a ding when birds do sing hey ding a ding hey ding a ding ding sweet lovers love the spring.
Oh, by my troth, I count it but time lost to sing such a foolish song. Come, Audrey.
Dost thou believe, Orlando, that the boy can do all this that he hath promised?
I sometimes do believe and sometimes do not, as those that fear they hope and know they fear.
Patience once more, whilst our compact is urged. You say if I bring in your Rosalind, you will bestow her on Orlando here?
That would I, had I kingdoms to give with her.
And you say you will have her when I bring her?
That would I, were I of all kingdoms king.
I have promised to make all this matter even. Keep you your word, O Duke, to give your daughter. You yours, Orlando, to receive his daughter. From hence I go, to make these doubts all even.
I do remember in this shepherd boy some lively touches of my daughter's favor.
My lord, the first time that I ever saw him, methought he was a brother to your daughter. But, my good lord, this boy is forest-born, and hath been tutored in the rudiments of many desperate studies by his uncle, whom he reports to be a great magician, obscured in the circle of this forest.
Salutation and greeting to you all.
Good, my lord, bid him welcome. This is the motley-minded gentleman that I have so often met in the forest. He hath been a courtier, he swears.
If any man doubt that, let him put me to my purgation. I have trod the measure. I have flattered a lady. I have been politic with my friend, smooth with mine enemy. I have undone 3 tailors. I've had 4 quarrels, and like to have fought one.
And how was that, tailor?
Faith, we met and found the quarrel was upon the 7th cause.
How, 7th cause? Good, my lord, like this fellow.
I like him very well.
God ill you, sir, I desire you of the like. I press in here, sir, amongst the rest of the country copulatives to swear and to forswear according as marriage binds and blood breaks. A poor virgin, sir, an ill-favoured thing, sir, but mine own. A poor humour of mine, sir, to take that no man else will. Rich honesty dwells like a miser, sir, in a poor house, as your pearl in your foul oyster.
But for the 7th cause, how did you find the quarrel of the 7th cause?
Upon a lie 7 times removed. Bear your body more seemly, Audrey. As thus, sir. I did dislike the cut of a certain courtier's beard. He sent me word, if I said his beard was not cut well, he was in the mind it was. This is called the retort courteous. If I sent him word again, it was not well cut, he would send me word, he cut it to please himself. This is called the quip modest. If again it was not well cut, he disabled my judgment. This is called the reply churlish. If again it was not well cut, he would answer, I spake not true. This is called the reproof valiant. If again it was not well cut, he would say, I lie.
This is called the countercheck quarrelsome, and so to the lie circumstantial and the lie direct.
And how oft did you say his beard was not well cut?
I durst go no further than the lie circumstantial, nor he durst not give me the lie direct, and so we measured swords and parted.
Is this not a rare fellow, my lord?
Then is there mirth in heaven when earthly things made even atone together? Good Duke, receive thy daughter. Heaven brought her, yea, brought her hither, that thou mightst join her hand with his, whose heart within her
I give myself, for I am yours.
If there be truth in sight, you are my daughter.
To you I give myself, for I am yours.
If there be truth in sight, you are my Rosalind.
I'll have no father if you be not he. I'll have no husband if you be not he.
Proceed, proceed. We will begin these rites as we do trust they'll end in true delights.